Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. We're so thankful for those of you who were able to join us in person today, and special thanks to those who are watching at home. We have some who are under the weather today. We'll be thinking of you and praying for you. I also want to say a special word of thanks to Helen Wormsbecker and to Barb Francis for working so hard for the beautiful decorations that we see for the season. Thank you so much. It makes it very special. All right, at this time, let's say the Lord's Prayer together as we begin. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As part of this special season, we light the Advent wreath each week. And so we have the Winandis here today to guide us through. We will have a reading that should appear on the screen, and we'll join them in the lines that say all. Okay? All right, let's do that.
Today, we light the candle of peace. Not as a denial of the places in our world and lives that lack peace, but as a reminder of our call to peace even in the midst of turmoil.
Can we go to the next slide?
May the light of peace be a reminder to seek peace in our hearts, lives, and the world. We know that the path toward peace isn't easy. The path toward peace isn't smooth. The path toward peace is risky, takes courage, and challenges the broken realities of the world.
May we learn to be courageous peacemakers in our world.
For peace to come, we must get to the hard work of aligning a world made crooked by sin with the straight paths of the kingdom of God. For peace to come, there is creative work that makes valleys of despair into mountaintops of hope. For peace to come, there's repetitive work that stands away injustice to bring about the smoothness of equity. Without the work, without the challenge, and without upsetting the status quo, peace will not come.
We join the Holy Spirit in actively seeking peace in the world around us.
We remember that Christ came as the Prince of Peace, but we also long for the day when Christ will return, and we will see the fulfillment of true peace in the world around us.
May the promises of peace ignite us in action,
that the world around us
may truly know the peace of Christ. Amen. Well, as the beauties of this season continues, let's sing together. Please stand, and you'll find the words on the screen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. These are the words that the angels sang at the arrival of Jesus into the world. We're looking forward to celebrating that at Christmas time. But hopefully it's the cry of our heart now and when he comes again. And he will come with a thundering arrival. And may he find revival in our midst. May he find us looking heavenward, but serving with our very lives to bring about his kingdom. Well, at this time, we will go to prayer. I'll remind you about giving. You can give online at fairmeadowchurch.org, and you can click the Give Today button there. You can also give on Facebook, choosing the Donate button. You can mail it in, or if you're here in person, you can give in the plates at the back as you leave today. We appreciate your faithfulness. We rely on it for the running of our ministry here, and we know that the lights are on. We know the heat is running, so the bills are there. But we appreciate your faithfulness as we want to reach out to our world with the good news of Jesus. As we go to prayer, let's remember several who are sick or out of commission. We want to say hi to Connie and Larry, who are having to watch from home today because family members came down with COVID. And so they are staying tucked away for 10 days or so, hoping that they do not have it. But we want to pray for their son, Fred, who does seem to have more serious symptoms. This morning, Ryan Radabaugh, who is not feeling well and had to stay home. And we have others who are under the weather or otherwise not able to join us today, so we pray for their recovery. We also want to pray for our world and all the things that are happening, decisions being made that affect us all. We want to see the kingdom come in our world. We want to see peace, and we want to reflect Jesus in our world. So we pray for our discipleship and faithfulness during this challenging time. As you know, the case numbers are up, and that's why we're wearing masks today, and may for the near future do that. One Nazarene church actually had to cancel today, Portage Grace Church, because they had so many cases. So we want to avoid that, and we appreciate you taking extra precautions today. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, as we come before you in this wonderful season, Lord, it's a season of anticipation. May it also be a season of action. We want to see your kingdom come, and we know you're coming again. But we know that when you walked on this earth, and even as you prepared to ascend to heaven, you commissioned us to make disciples. You commissioned us to bless the world and to bring peace. And so I pray that we, as your faithful people, will be stepping into that and even dreaming and imagining about that, getting creative in wanting to follow you and looking for your coming. We pray, Father, today for those who are sick. We ask that you will bless them and heal them and touch their bodies. Others who even are here today but may be in a little bit of pain or have recently had a procedure, we're grateful, Lord, that you have touched several recently. We want to pray for Norma, who's been undergoing some tests, and ask that you'll bless her. We're thankful that you watched over Katie in her recent heart procedure. Just in so many ways, you've been working and blessing and touching people physically, and we're so grateful that you are the great physician. And Father, we pray for our world. We know that there's a new variant of this virus. We know that the numbers are up significantly in our area. Lord, hopefully most of us are vaccinated, and that's helping to protect us, but there are still some unknowns right now, and we know that some are affected. I know several people who have COVID right now, and I just pray that you'll bless and protect them today and help them to completely heal and recover. And help us to be wise and avoid it and wise in not spreading it to others as well. But Lord, I just pray that you'll heal our land, heal our world. Deliver us through this time until we find ways to definitely manage living with this virus if we must, or if by any chance we see it driven away completely. And maybe we won't even know why, but it'll happen, and we'll know that you have been at work. And so we just pray that you'll undertake in a special way. And Father, I ask for us in this time to be faithful disciples, that no matter what is going on in the world, our following you will not come to a screeching halt, but we'll find ways to represent you in our world. We'll find ways to bless and to love. And where reconciliation is needed in relationships near us, that we will seek peace and pursue it. That as much as it lies within us, that we will be at peace with everyone around us. And I pray that this holiday season will be one of a time of reconciliation and love in the lives of many. And now, Lord, as we continue in worship today, speak into our lives, for we are here, our hearts are open, we're ready to listen and respond. Enable us to be your church in your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, at this time, let's turn our attention to God's Word. We'll be in Luke chapter 3, so let's stand once again in honor of God's Word, if you would. Luke chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth. And all people will see God's salvation. This is the word of the Lord. You can be seated. Well, when we're thinking about Christmas itself, probably the most iconic Christmas text would be found in Luke chapter 2. Many of you have heard that story. When I was an undergrad in college, and we had to take a chapter of the Bible, and we had to look for all the key words and look up what the words were in Greek and in English and account for them in a paper. And I was so shocked and happy when I came and saw that Luke chapter 2 was still available. Nobody had signed up for it. And so I quickly and eagerly signed up for it because I thought, wow, what a great passage. And then I realized that there are 52 verses in Luke chapter 2. And that's why nobody had chosen that chapter. I think it was a 40-page paper when I turned it all in. But I learned so much. It's powerful. And we'll get there. We'll get there this season, I promise. But when we think of Advent texts, if you've been around the church a few spins, well, we probably do think of Luke chapter 3, because it's the story of John the Baptist, the one who's calling out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. And this cry of preparation is one we often think about during Advent, and rightfully so, because it is a season of anticipation, a season of preparation for Christmas, and preparation of our hearts for the return of the Lord. This text seems appropriate for the season, but it might seem odd for a week in which we're talking about peace. But hang in there. John the Baptist doesn't encapsulate the image of Advent or Christmas peace that we usually think about. He's depicted as a bit of a wild man, right? Living out in the wilderness, wearing weird clothes, eating weird food, right? Well, and he's always crying out for people to repent. And he's not particularly nice to everyone. When we think of Advent and Christmas peace, we picture babies who don't cry and pastoral images of sheep and shepherds. not a wild and loud call for repentance. But John the Baptist does, in Luke 3, paint a picture of a time where peace was to come, and he borrows this image from the book of Isaiah. He describes a time when crooked paths are made straight, rough places made smooth. I remember in the first congregation where I served, we had a really bad parking lot, right? I mean, I know you've seen bad church parking lots, but we had to mow the parking lot, all right? Are you with me? I mean, really mow it. That's how much grass was growing through. And so we were concerned about this, and we finally put together a fundraiser, but we didn't get very much in. We ended up having to borrow the money, but it turned out to be a good arrangement. And finally, the day came when they were going to take care of it. And oh, they came in and they scooped out all of those layers of stuff that were in our parking lot. And they left this really rough surface. And they put some gravel down in some places, and they brought the levels into something more practical. They're also thinking of where the water would go. And then they had 5 dump trucks lined up in front, and they all had steaming hot stuff in the back of them, and they came in and they laid down all that stuff, and then there was a really big guy driving a steamroller, right? It was just the cliche of what you think of, and he was even eating a bologna sandwich while he did it, but he was perfect at driving that machine. And there would be this kind of pile of stuff in front of him, but after he passed over it, it was smooth, just a little steam coming off of it. And it looked so good. All those rough places were filled in, and we celebrated. And I guess you could say it was a more peaceful parking lot in that sense when we were done. But he's envisioning this, of course, this is a metaphor for what would happen in the world as God arrives and begins to go to work, making all things new. A day of peace that's yet to come. But it's not one of silent babies and softly bleating sheep. It's a picture of divine loving action. And it's a picture of a hard journey of work and repentance that ultimately leads to the peace of Christ in our lives and then in the world. It's the kingdom of God coming to earth, and coming there in unexpected ways. So the text begins by contrasting the kingdoms of the world and the kingdom of God. So Luke sets the stage describing the current kingdom and all the political powers who are at play. He lists off there a litany of people. The list includes the emperor, the governor, various other political leaders, even the religious high priests of the day. Because political kingdom power was the way people were thinking about the world at that time. People even thought that the Messiah would come that way, that he would be some sort of earthly king. And they thought peace on earth would come through the powers of the elite being applied in a direction that was more favorable to God. Through warfare, perhaps, many of them were ready to rise up. Through the law, perhaps, if they could get the laws aligned with God's laws, or through having the most firepower and the most clout. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? But after this list of political rulers and powers comes a simple line in verse 2. God's word came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. So this seemingly small line, it begins to draw the reader to see the very different kingdom that God has begun to create and the very different methods that he is using. Because the word of God did not land in Rome, and the word of God did not land in the governor's office. It landed in the wilderness, in the heart of a wild man. It's not entering through the political center, but it's coming from a wilderness place. It's not entering through those in power, but through a prophet, who had zero official clout in the world. And although Luke 3 doesn't directly reference the birth of Christ, the immediately preceding chapter does, which means that this list of political leaders and powers read directly after the narrative of Christ's birth and childhood, this highlights the contrast of kingdoms even more. Babies in mangers, wild men in the wilderness. The kingdom isn't operating in the ways of the world, but it's operating in a new way. So we see John, and he's doing what John does. We call him John the Baptizer for a reason, right? He was baptizing people, but he was baptizing them really into a new kind of citizenship, one that went beyond political realms. Now, he wasn't rebelling completely against the citizenship in the Roman Empire. We are told that there were soldiers, and he didn't tell them to leave the army. We were to respect those who are in authority, and yet to recognize God's true and ultimate authority, which was not regularly recognized in that empire. So the hearers of the original text would have been familiar with the idea of baptism because many people who were converting to Judaism were asked to do it. And there were various religious ceremonies that involved cleansing with water that were a part of Jewish practice. The radical part of John's message wasn't the act of baptism, but in what he was asking of those who came to be baptized. John called the people snakes sometimes. He told them to stop relying on their heritage for salvation. He told them they needed to repent to completely change their hearts and minds. I've shared this before, but the word repent, it always reminds me of something my grandpa always said, that when he was growing up, the house that he lived in was so small, you had to step outside to change your mind. And I think there's a message there for us. Our world's kind of small. Are we dreaming less than we should be? Are we hoping for less than we could? Are we not thinking in terms of what is possible with God? If our worlds get small and cramped, it's because we don't have faith and we don't have real life change. So this act of repentance would lead to significant change in the way that people lived. So it starts with believing better things, believing that great things are possible with God at work, and just reminding ourselves that God is at work and that we can know God. And then in every situation we're in, we should remember that and see everything through those eyes, through that lens. Well, then it builds. Once we're believing the right things and seeing the world in new ways, it finds fulfillment when we spring into action based on what we now see. Now, this idea of being reoriented was a powerful one. It was not dependent on a family legacy or heritage, but it was different altogether. And when we look at the list of those who came to be baptized, we also see something interesting. In the crowd were tax collectors and soldiers. Tax collectors controlled much of the economy at the time, and they were known to cheat people for personal gain. John commanded them to stop collecting dishonestly. Soldiers were the powerful arm of the Roman government. So when John commanded them to stop harassing others, he was asking people employed to be violent instigators and give the force of Roman law, he was asking them to demonstrate God-honoring humanity to others. So there's this contrast. And there's living where we live, under the governments that we live under, and still finding ways to be faithful and live in the kingdom of God. So the ways that we seek to see God bringing his kingdom to pass, our minds have to be open to those being different than what we expect. If we think we need to get aligned with the right political powers, we may miss entirely what God is up to in the world. So, God calls us to be a voice, to join him in smoothing pathways, filling in valleys, straightening what is crooked in the world. When we think of peace, we usually don't imagine earthquakes, but that's the type of image from verse 5 in today's scripture. Things are being shaken up by the arrival of God's kingdom. And when we think of peace, we don't usually imagine sandpaper, but that's the kind of image we get from verse 5 as well. The rough places being made smooth. Things are being refined and smoothed out. These images of the kingdom of God, a kingdom of peace brought about in the world, it only comes through action and movement. So we start with God's divine action. God sent Jesus into the world. God sent John to prepare the way for him. God sent the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And Jesus said he's making all things new. So that's where it begins. And then God calls us to follow in Jesus' footsteps and to step into the flow of what he's doing in the world. And then we hopefully do answer that call and we engage in loving action in the world. It's obvious that the kingdom of God is not going to come in the ways that most people were expecting. We already noted that repentance and baptism are odd ways to build earthly kingdoms. They're usually formed by money and power and control. But even so, the kingdom of God is not breaking through with only gentleness. Ultimately, there is power, and God will exert his will on the world ultimately. Now he gives us a chance to choose that we will follow in his footsteps, that we will put our faith and our complete trust in him, that we will obey him in the world. But ultimately, when Jesus comes again, there will be more of an edge, and the world will bend into the shape that God has in mind. Real change, real movement is there behind the kingdom of God. So peace isn't just being passive and nonviolent. The peace of God is coming through in sometimes painful ways, because the powers of the world have to be dismantled in order for peace to reign. And that happened. Some who were hearing the words of John lived long enough to witness thunderous change in their world. And even one of the proud leaders, Herod, when he was in the middle of speaking and taking credit for all that God was doing, and he was taking credit for them calling him a god, when he didn't denounce that, he fell dead himself. And so the powers that be aren't as powerful as they think, and they do not live forever on earth as we know it. The Roman Empire itself would eventually crumble, but the church is still here. Amen? The church rose up as a force of change and healing in the world. And I wish I could say that over the last 2,000 years, we have faithfully lived out only that kind of vision for who we are. But sadly, we haven't. And so the church has had to repent. And I hope it's genuine. I hope that we do want to change and be only and all that God is calling us to be. Well, sometimes we talk about leveling the playing field for people. This text is a great time to think about that metaphor. When the ground isn't level, that means injustice is happening. And where there's injustice that is sustained over time, there's no way that there's going to be lasting peace. The kingdom of God creates a level playing field where everyone is loved and everyone is included. And justice for all matters. This is connected as well to John telling the crowds to share what they have with others, a message that Jesus revisits in the Sermon on the Mount. A kingdom of peace is one in which people have what they need and justice reigns. We long for that day when it is completely true. But now we live in the day where we have an opportunity to help it become true for those who need it. Crooked paths being made straight might not mean much today for us with our modern travel and technology, but the clarity and ability to see the way ahead when you're traveling, that was something they did not take for granted back then. Because often they were risking the possibility of getting robbed as they made their way on roads. People could be hiding just around the bend, and the early listeners would have listened closely when he talked about crooked paths being made straight. A world where we don't have to fear crime. Wouldn't that be amazing to see? And it is what God intends to bring. What can we do now to help that to come? Well, that's a very different world than most experience today. And then when he talks about the soldiers also not harassing others, and John speaks to them directly when they ask him later in the story. All these images promote a world in which people's intentions become pure and their actions reflect those intentions, and they don't get pulled into the darkness of sin. Rough places being made smooth. Now that's one we can easily grasp. We talk about, I'm going through a rough patch in my life right now, right? You'll hear people say that. We have a rough time dealing with something. But we also have to note that the smoothing out process isn't always comfortable, right? Now, if you're sitting on a steamroller with a nice bologna sandwich, that's a little more comfortable. But in real, actual life, it involves difficulty at times. In the process of rough places in our lives being made smooth, the Holy Spirit will be at work in your life. The Holy Spirit will nudge you. If necessary, the Holy Spirit will make you uncomfortable. Amen? But in the right way, in the best way, saying, you can do better because I'm here to help. Or don't go that way. I'm trying to warn you. Do go this way. Yes, that's the right path. But we have to learn to listen to that and adjust our ways. But the challenges form us deeply as we learn how to rely on God. Now, obedience to God, that creates opportunities for us and for others. And this is what we often forget. When we are not obedient, it's not just us making a choice for ourselves. When we are not obedient, then whatever blessing that obedience would have brought into the world is denied to those around us as well. There's a way in which we are somewhat connected to each other in this. So through the week, if all of us are seeking God, if all of us are obeying God, if all of us are in prayer for each other and living out God's mission, we all sort of gather strength from the wind of that. Amen? But if we're all going our separate ways, doing our own little thing, well, then it's choppy, and the way gets divided, and we're just individuals spread out all over. Instead, let us be obedient people who live into a future that will be a blessing for everyone. A kingdom of peace is one that moves in action toward others, looking out for the interests of others instead of solely ourselves. And this type of peace is both a joyful and sometimes painful process. It takes sacrifice, repentance, and a complete reorientation of life, but the rewards are great and not just for ourselves. But God's kingdom of peace enters into the world through ordinary people. Let's say that together. God's kingdom of peace enters into the world through ordinary people. People like you, even people like me. John the Baptist was not a ruler. As we said, he was a wild man in the wilderness. But he was preaching repentance, and he was preparing the way for Christ. The crowd seeking baptism, they were ordinary people, most of them, looking for more. The tax collectors that were there were viewed by some as the worst sinners. And yet here they were, being accepted in their repentance and called to live in a new way. The soldiers were caught up in the Roman Empire, and yet they sought something new, something more. Even the Messiah himself, he entered in an ordinary and unspectacular way. And in its ordinariness, it catches us by surprise, and it shows us how simple and yet how powerful God's ways are. And then it falls to us. We too are empowered by God. We too are called to this work. We are called to repent and be transformed, that we might participate in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of peace, and in the world around us. So this morning, peacemaking, that's part of our theme today. Where does that land in your life as something you could be involved in? Are there relationships in your family where really peace is not reigning right now? And frustration builds up and it's not dealt with in a godly way. Can you take a step back? Can you take a deep breath? Can you believe that God has more for those relationships? And can you do what's there for you to do to bring reconciliation and peace? It's not easy. It's not something we attempt in the flesh. Well, maybe for you, it's not the immediate family, but maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's another situation that you're in life. Or maybe you just see someone else struggling, always at war, always feeling like they've got to battle for what's theirs. Can you help them? Can you set an example? Can you come alongside of them and help God help you show them a different way? This is kingdom work. And when we see injustice around us that's stirring up the lack of peace, can we do what's within our reach to do to make things better in the world? Can we stand up for someone who is being mistreated? Can we speak in along with others who are doing the same? Can we add our voice to make things better for those with deep needs in their lives? Because this peace that God wants to bring, it's real, and it's deep, and it's powerful. And it's not just about babies who don't cry. When we sing that song, I think Jesus probably cried, right? Even the baby Jesus. Now, maybe not right when we sing Silent Night. Maybe not right then. But in general, I think there were plenty of late night disruptions in the Holy Family. And it's not just about resting in quiet fields. Remember, those angels just blasted their presence into the lives of those shepherds. And they were terrified. That was their response, right? Loud music, right? Hey, can you turn down that racket? No, we've got a message from on high, and it changes everything. And you're part of that, whether you plan to be or not. And they went with it, and they did their part. Ordinary scenes that make way for the kingdom of peace. It's an image like this, an image of a parent who breaks a cycle of abuse by deciding to do the hard, smoothing work of therapy so that their child can grow up in a better home. It's the image of civil rights activists sitting at counters and singing "This Little Light of Mine." Or it's the grandmother on her knees night after night, praying for her neighborhood, praying for her family, praying for all the lost sheep that she knows. It's people who wash graffiti off walls without expecting recognition. It's church members reorienting our lives toward others. It's the hard everyday moments of working for love and peace and justice in a world that seems so far from it. We're reading this book, Come Peasant King, right? That shows us the contrast here, right? The peasants and the kings all coming and kneeling before the throne of God. But she writes, the path toward peace isn't easy. The path toward peace isn't smooth. The path toward peace is risky. It takes courage and challenges the broken realities of the world. For peace to come, we must get to the hard work of aligning a world made crooked by sin with the straight paths of the kingdom of God. And we've got to sense the urgency, I would add. For peace to come, there's creative work that makes valleys of despair into mountaintops of hope, as was read this morning. For peace to come, there's repetitive work. It sands away injustice to bring about the smoothness of equity. Without the work, without the challenge, and without upsetting the status quo, peace will not come in our lives or in the world. If we just want a little Jesus on the side to make us feel better, that's not what he came for. Amen? He is Lord of all. And I pray that you are knowing him at that level. And so we pray and trust God, because this is God's ultimate work after all. And so we see the world through different eyes, through Jesus' eyes of love. And in the strength he provides, we work to see these changes in the lives around us. We don't just tell people about Jesus. We show them that he cares. We work together to make their lives better in him so they experience true peace. So may the kingdom of God come. May we find ways to live into this new reality, to work to see it fully until Jesus comes again. May he find us faithful, and may he find us as agents of peace. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, in a world full of chaos and wars and rumors of wars, we're here in the presence of the Prince of Peace. And Lord, we need you. I do pray that you would bring peace into our lives, but the peace born of true repentance, that we would just throw ourselves upon your mercy and ask you to come and you to reach down and show us the way. Show us how to walk in paths of righteousness. Show us how to bring peace. And Father, right now in this moment, bring to mind those relationships that need our attention. Lord, where your peace could come at greater levels. May we be agents of peace and reconciliation. May we be able to say, I'm sorry. Can we begin again? May we be able to extend grace to others, Lord, I pray. And Father, where we're just feeling frustrated and defeated, would you just come next to us here, Lord, and put your arm around us and encourage us. There is a way forward. There is a way through. There is a way that leads to reconciliation. And Father, I pray for justice to break through as well, that we would be fair in how we conduct ourselves always, that we would offer that fairness to each other. And Father, I just pray that above all, we'll see that your kingdom is coming, and that if we'll get involved, we can see it come to pass. Lord, I'm excited about the breakthroughs that we're going to see in families, in neighborhoods, in workplaces, because you're working in and through us. Lord, we want peace with you, yes. And Lord, we want to see that peace spread all around us. And so now, Lord, work. And so now, Lord, come and do what only you can do in us. If the Lord's nudging you and you're saying, yes, I want to be more of a person of peace, with your eyes still closed, would you just lift up your hand and acknowledge that this morning? Thank you. Thank you. Father, bless and work in each life, whether they're watching at home or right here in our midst. Fill us with your power and your love, and make us agents of your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. may get to see if we have the Apostles' Creed memorized. Let's give it just a moment. Cue the Jeopardy music here while we wait. You guys have the words? Okay. Because I don't. Okay. Oh, now I do. Okay. Let's begin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now go, filled with the love and mercy and peace of God. But live in the power of the Lord. Live bringing justice and peace to your world. In Jesus' name, amen. If you can stay, we'll have Sunday school down the hall in our warehouse, and we'll see you then. Thank you.